initialize sequence now.
What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys, Cap.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Hawk.
Captain Hawk, Brian Campbell. They call him Soupy, is in for David.
Who's more hockey all the time, Taze or Keith?
Dunks takes like 3 hours to eat a dinner.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down, Speedy Gonzalez.
Like literally the slowest eater in history of eating. And I can't do it. I'm like a guy, dude, I need to get it. I need to get me a
go right through it.
Get me the bill, get out of here. He would sit there for 3 hours and he might be eating a 20-ounce steak, but it'd take for...
What, is he cutting the fat off the meat, or does he just want to have a conversation?
No, it just takes his time.
Is he a talker?
But he'll talk shop. You know, he likes talking shop.
Do you ever a player that you played with where you go, just stop talking, please?
Shut the hell up, Schneebly.
Yeah.
Come on. Was he a Hawk?
The one I was thinking about, yeah, was a Hawk, yeah.
Who is it?
Jack Skilly.
Shut up!
Yeah, he likes movie quotes. He's always doing movie quotes. I'm like, who cares?
Just don't talk. Just don't talk for 20 seconds. I'm begging you.
You're a little bit of a movie quote guy, Cap.
I am a movie quote guy.
Oh, maybe you guys,
Jack and I
should leave.
Did we just become best friends?
Yup.
From the 7th floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Walter Stone scores!
Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap'n Hawk.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in. Cap'n Hawk on the air on Comcast Sportsnet WGN Plus. David's in Tampa. I'm David Kaplan. And look who's over there. He's David. The Hall of Famer from WGN. Great to see you, buddy.
Great to see you, Cap. When's the last time you and I did a show together?
Oh, boy, it's been a while.
It's been years.
It's been a while.
It's great to be with you.
We've done some games,
mm-hmm.
but I can't remember the last show we did.
I think it was probably, I want to say, 10, 12 years ago, maybe more.
I think maybe the 07-08 Cubs playoffs, we did something outside
right.
Wrigley.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
That was probably it. But it's great to be with you. Thanks
too.
For having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming in. Mike Jacobson, our executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. Pat Costello is our director. Coming up on the show, Dave and I will talk with D-Haw from Tampa, 925. Eric Erlandson, the Lightning beat writer from the Tampa Tribune at 1025. What are they saying down there? Coach Q told David this morning in the paper that it is a must-win for his Hawks tomorrow. That's how he's approaching it. Brian Geltzeiler, the host and analyst for SiriusXM NBA Radio, he'll be with us at 10:55 as the Cavs completely whiz all over themselves in overtime and lose. The only basket they got in overtime was the last 2 points. It's like 4 seconds left.
Outscored 10-0.
Brutal. And Doug Knackman, our horse racing expert and handicapper, be with us as American Pharoah goes for trying to win the Triple Crown tomorrow. So it's a great sports weekend. Blackhawks will play game 2 tomorrow. You got the Belmont right before that. I'm jacked up. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be terrific. I mean, you've got the opportunity for history to be made at Belmont Park, which I think most people are expecting. I'll be interested to hear what Doug says about it later. But you find very few people who will really go out on a limb and say that American Pharoah is going to get beat tomorrow. But it will. But look, history tells us more likely than not
that
somebody's going to beat him.
Right.
But for the Blackhawks to be able to be in position to grab a 2-0 lead, and no team has come back to win the Stanley Cup after losing the first two at home since, I believe, 1966.
That would be unbelievable.
Yeah, it would be a tremendous feather in their cap to come back here up 2-0.
I like the fact that Q says he looks at tomorrow as a must-win. We got to get that one.
You know what's interesting about that is that that's not what Tampa Bay is saying.
No, they're going unless it's an elimination, Steven Stamkos said, it's not a must-win.
But, see, here's the problem with that. If they say this is a must-win for us and they don't get it,
they're done.
Now they're really in trouble. So right. I understand their mentality, but I also think it's vintage Joel Quenneville that he's saying this game absolutely we got to get it.
Yeah, we got to get a stranglehold on this series.
Well, this team's been resilient, Tampa Bay. I mean, you look at the way they won at Detroit when they had to win there. You look at the way they've won on the road throughout the playoffs, 7 road wins in the playoffs. And, I mean, if they come in here 1-1, they know they can go into another building and win.
Exactly. And then they feel like, all right, we steal one in Chicago, we've got home ice back, and we got a series.
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah, it's a huge, huge game. 312-235-2525. What are you most looking forward to this weekend? You got baseball, Cubs and Nats, White Sox and the Tigers. Tee it up. That starts tomorrow. Tonight.
Tonight.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. They start tonight. And then you got the Belmont and you got the Blackhawks. Many people looking forward to the Belmont. I am, but I'm most looking forward to the Blackhawks.
Yeah, no question. Tomorrow night. And it's starting at a decent hour for those of us who have trouble staying up real late.
Correct.
You know, 6:15 face-off tomorrow night. So even if it goes double, triple overtime, which I said on the air this morning, I think this game could very well be overtime. I'm picking the Blackhawks to win it. They're going to get Tampa Bay's best shot tomorrow night. I don't think there's any question.
Boy, it would be sweet if they could go in there and win. Yeah. And love the fact that, you said, it's an early Saturday. I'm shooting a show called The Piece of the Game all day tomorrow. Then I'm going to watch the Belmont at the end of the day. They get ready for the Blackhawks, have some dinner, and just that to me is just a great weekend.
It is. With all the baseball going on, you've got the NBA Finals continuing on Sunday. Game two there, that's another thing to watch. So, yeah, it should be great for early June, people. Well, you know, there's a lot going on.
A ton going on. All right, Cubs with a huge win last night. Sox losing extras. Carlos Rodon pitched well. They did not get him enough support, so they lose. But David Ross picks off a base runner to end the ballgame. I'm laying in bed, and I'm falling asleep. And I'm like, oh, I got to stay awake. And Mike texted me how awesome the NBA stuff was, and I was watching it, and the Cavs are leading, and they give that away. And I thought LeBron's shot selection on the final shot. Were you still awake at the end of regulation?
I didn't. I've seen a replay of the shot.
I don't understand what he's doing, taking a 27-foot bailout, fall-away, ridiculous shot. You know if that's Michael, he's attacking.
Well, plus the shots weren't falling for him. He wasn't making a ton of
shots. 18 of 38.
Yeah, he missed 20 shots. Now, granted, he scored 44 points, but really, they're in trouble when Kyrie Irving's not out there. That team is in trouble. And when J.R. Smith's not hitting.
My buddy Paul Papps from the Dan Patrick Show, he just tweeted a couple of minutes ago that he talked to someone in Cleveland who's, I think, a source of his inside there. They said they are not expecting him back
really?
In the series.
Well,
they have not confirmed that. But again, I'll read you the tweet that he sent out. It does not sound like it's a real good prognosis. It says, they feel like he's done for the series. That's what I was told. Cavs source to John Barry about Kyrie Irving's injury.
Well, who can get to the basket for them other than LeBron? If Kyrie's not, I mean, Shumpert, maybe, not regularly. He's certainly not the threat that Irving is.
And by the way, Steph Curry, Mike made a great point in my ear. Steph Curry last night, who he's a good defender, but he's obviously an elite scorer and shooter. Mm-hmm. He defended Kyrie Irving way better than Derrick Rose did.
He did a great job on him.
Holy smokes. Yeah. Adela Vadova.
Although I think some of that might have been first game NBA Finals jitters. I mean, I think Golden State looked really tight when that game started.
They did.
They got better as the game went on, obviously. And Cleveland, they've kind of been this way throughout. I mean, they have stretches where they look unstoppable. And then
stretches where they stink.
They can't hang on to the ball. They turn it over.
But
they take bad shots.
Help but thinking that if LeBron doesn't make that really interesting baseline corner shot to beat the Bulls that Sunday afternoon,
different series.
The Bulls win that game. They go up 3-1. They blow up a 12 or 14 point lead late third. If they win that game, they're probably the ones playing Golden State right now.
Yeah, you may very well be right.
And Tibbs would still be here.
Yeah, that's right. I think they would have beaten Atlanta. So, yeah, I think you can certainly make that case.
Yeah, Atlanta was done physically. They were just beat up.
They were finished.
Tibbs on SportsCenter, and I'm Mike and Mike this morning, and handled everything with class, did not throw the Bulls under the bus, despite them throwing him under the bus. He has not gone down that road. Surprised?
I'm not surprised at all. I wouldn't expect him. Even the statement that he issued the
class
day he was let go, it was thanks to everybody, thanks to Jerry Reinsdorf, thanks to the Bulls for the opportunity.
Yeah, he handled it with class.
Yep.
But do you think this Bulls team can realistically, as presently constituted with a new coaching staff, Can they win a championship next year? If not, then you've got to make some moves.
Well, I think you have to see how Cleveland comes out of this whole thing. What's Kyrie Irving's future now? Right. Because and what's right. Kevin how Love's future? I know he's coming back. He says he's coming back to Cleveland, and I think we have to assume he is. If those three guys are all there, then I think that they're still going to be a roadblock next year and the year after, for however far down the road you want to look. If that dynamic changes there, if that cast changes, then, yeah, the Bulls are right there, I think. But who knows right now? I think that there has to be concern about Irving's only 23 years old.
Right.
And
he's had a lot of injuries.
He has had a bunch of injuries.
He was hurt at Duke for almost an entire season. He was only there 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
He got hurt there. He was hurt earlier with the Cavs, and now he's hurt again here last night. And again, you heard that report from John Berry that his source at Cleveland says they're not expecting him back in the finals. We'll find out. He has an MRI coming up. All right, again, we've got David Haw join us, 9:25. Eric Erlandson, the Lightning beat writer for the Tampa Tribune, will join us from Florida. Brian Geldzeiler, the host and analyst of SiriusXM NBA Radio and 120 Sports, is with us. And our boy Dougie Knackman, the horse racing handicapping guru, will be on the show. Dave Ennett in for D. Haw. But we will talk with David, 9 a.m. hour, sponsored by the great people at Apt Electronics in Glenview. We'll come right back. Hey, don't forget also, if you'd like to win free tickets to Wednesday's Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final, tune in and watch for a keyword giving out during the pre- and post-game show for Game 2 and the pregame for Game 3 on CSN. Winners will be announced during the Game 3 post-game show for their chance to win only here on CSN Chicago and CSNChicago.com. Be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Game one goes to Golden State. The horn will sound right now. The final score. The Warriors, who are down 14 in the first half, they win 108-100.
That's one of our keys to our success in the series is to stick with the game plan and stick with it. And we were able to do that. You know, obviously LeBron was making crazy plays. But we were a little anxious and antsy to get, you know, the game going. This is a big opportunity for us and just had to settle into the game.
That's the highlight courtesy of KNBR. That's the big station in San Francisco and the flagship of the Warriors Radio Network as they grab a 1-0 series lead. They knock off the Cavs in overtime after, and it was Steph Curry, by the way, at the end. LeBron James, 44. That's a playoff high for him, but they cannot get it done, and they go cold in overtime. Dave Ennett in for D. Haw. I'm David Kaplan. Welcome back to Kaplan Haw. There's articles all around LeBron is the best player ever. He's better than Michael. We're going to have a guy on, I don't know, in the next week or so who wrote this big, huge piece about how LeBron's way better than Michael. LeBron's shot selection leaves a lot to be desired. I don't ever remember Michael's shot selection being as ridiculous as LeBron's,
no.
Especially in a game-winning situation.
No, I agree with you. I mean, he's hit his game winners, but he's also missed a lot, and he missed one last night that would have won it. And I agree with you, Cap. I mean, I think he takes so many shots that you're bound to take some bad ones. He took 38 shots last night. That's 38 out of 94. So he's taking over 33% of their shots. And I guess you would expect that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a multiple MVP, multiple NBA Finals winner. But you just don't get the same vibe, I don't think. He's an unbelievable player. He's
correct.
A great player. He's the best player in the game. But there's no question that at times you kind of look at it, and I thought there were times in the Bulls series where he took some really quick threes down the stretch in games where they were making a run or looked like they maybe had control, and it's like that's not what you want to do in those situations.
He's just not – like somebody tweeted a picture of Michael last night where it says, they say LeBron is better than me. Funny, I don't remember shooting 1-for-10 in an overtime finals game. I just feel like if that situation was different and Michael was in that exact spot last night, he's attacking.
Yeah, and that's something.
Not bailing out.
Yeah, and again, that's something they're going to have to figure out a way to do it because as a team, Cleveland last night, 29% from three, And that's, I mean, J.R. Smith, when the shots are not falling for him.
He's worthless.
What good is it to have him on the floor?
Worthless player unless he's red hot.
Yeah.
And he did it against the Bulls where he's like he's stuck on automatic. He was 7 or 8 for 10 from 3. But boy, oh boy, they had every chance. And you know how they say sports a game of inches? So Shumpert gets the rebound of LeBron's shot.
Almost.
It's that close to going in. It hits, and it falls off.
Yep.
If he makes it, they're up 1-0, and Irving doesn't get hurt because overtime never happens.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of what-ifs for Cleveland. They were up by 14 in the first half, and they let Golden State kind of hang around there. And again, I think Golden State was tight to start the game, and Cleveland, I think, had an opportunity to really put the hammer down, didn't do it.
So if you could rebuild or retool is probably a better word for the Bulls. I would get rid of Joakim because I don't think he's got much left in the tank. He's got 1 year left on his deal. But I would do all I could to gear up whatever I've got to do, whatever I can do with the cap and the luxury tax, because I think they can get to the final next year. I really do. I don't think Cleveland's invincible.
I don't think they're invincible, but I think it's a hurdle. Now, I agree with you. If they'd gotten past them this year, and they weren't that far. I mean, look at you
right
back-to-back games decided by buzzer beaters. You had, except for the end of the series, you had the Bulls right there against this team.
They just quit in the last game.
Yeah. I mean, well, things weren't going well. But I think if you look down the road, I think absolutely they can get past Cleveland. Now, who else is going to be better next year in the East this year? At times, Washington looked like they might be that team.
They did. The Bucks are up and coming.
Bucks are coming on, no question. Atlanta, was this year a fluke for them, or can they be good again going forward? But you got to figure teams are going to improve, and so you might be looking at somebody else next year. I think Boston, they've got some age there, but
they're getting better.
They're going to be better. So I think it's going to be real interested to say. Now, I'm not sure I would get rid of Joakim. I'm interested to hear you say that, but I understand your thinking.
But I would have traded him last summer. I said this on the show last summer. He was not an MVP candidate. He got a lot of votes because he had a great year.
Mm-hmm.
You sell high. I would have traded him last year. He's going into knee surgery. He had a lousy year. He had a lousy playoff. He's got no confidence. And I'm not going to re-sign him to a max deal. So what am I going to do a year from now? Just let him walk?
Yeah, get something for him.
Absolutely. 312-235-2525. By the way, there is no guy that commits more fouls and gets calls than LeBron. Last night, Draymond Green is guarding him late. He gets the ball. He shoves off to get the ball in. He makes a move into the lane, puts his elbow into his chest, pushes him, gets a little bump back, and the foul is on Draymond Green. It's amazing how many calls that guy gets.
Weren't you surprised they called LeBron, like, what, 20 seconds into the game?
Crazy.
I mean, normally he
gets none of that.
He's not called.
But they gave him that call early, and then he got a bunch of calls late. Yeah. Toby in Lake Bluff. Hey, Toby, what's going on here, Cookie?
You just answered my question. He should foul out in the introductions, and it turns me off because I didn't like Shaq. He knocked down two guys and then make a slam dunk.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me what he's able. And I like LeBron. Don't get me wrong. He's a great player. But I don't believe the amount of calls that he is allowed to get away with. It's crazy.
Well, he weighs 489 pounds or something.
Yeah, he's a big dude, man. A big, big dude. Appreciate the call, buddy.
Okay, thanks.
See you, pal.
By the way, how good does Draymond Green look at times?
Holy
How about
smokes.
That pick and roll they ran with him early in the game?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Did you ever think, you called a bunch of his games.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that he'd be the player he's become?
I did not think he would. I thought he'd be a nice complimentary player.
That's exactly what I
NBA.
Thought.
To be a starter on a team playing for a championship, no.
Now, Steph Curry out of Davidson, I saw him in college. You knew he was going to be a great shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he'd be like Kyle Korver.
Right.
Did I think he would be the MVP of the league? Absolutely not.
Totally agree.
Let's go back to the phones. Dave's in Whiting. Hey, Davey, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, guys? Good morning. Great game.
I got a couple comments on LeBron. All right. Let's just stop, okay? Let's stop it. Comparisons with Jordan and LeBron. Overtime, where's LeBron? Where is he? Jordan would have not let that happen at all. He would have gathered the troops up. Listen, we got to play physical. Move the ball around. I mean, 1-for-10, and then he's got the audacity to score the last point, so it would be a scoreless overtime game with the Cavs? No, come on, LeBron. Show some class, okay? That's all I got to say. And Draymond Green could have been a bull. But Paxson Gar-Foreman wanted somebody else. That's who Tom Thibodeau wanted. He wanted Green. And look what happened. Fire Paxson Gorman.
Thanks, Dave. Look, yeah, who's Gorman? Fire Paxson Gorman, he said. I guess that would be G-Foreman.
G-Foreman.
Drop the F. Yes. Gorman. Look, Pax and Gar have put a pretty damn good roster together. They've given them depth. They've given them talent. They may not be the best team in the NBA, but there's more than enough to be really good there. 312-235-2525. We'll get to Max in Chicago. We'll get to you, 312-235-2525. And David Haw, that bandwagon guy, will join us in just a couple of minutes from Tampa.
It's Cap and Haw.
312-235-2525. Let's go to the phones. We start with George in Naperville. Hey, Giorgio.
Hey, George. Going on here, Buttercup?
Hey, Cap. Good to talk to you. I really love your show, by the way. Hey, listen, I think...
Say hi to the guy who works right alongside me, David Haw.
Both of you.
Thanks, buddy. Oh, we have our moments in the morning. It's so funny. The other guy calls in the other day, goes, hey, Cap, how you doing? Love the show. Hey, Dave. Dave Ennett is in that seat right there to my right. It's Cap and Ennett this morning. David Haw is on the road in Tampa with a great column this morning, a one-on-one with Coach Q, which those do not come easy. Good morning, D-Haw. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Dave Ennett, thank you so much for sitting in for me today. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, I'm honored.
What's going on?
All right, so, funny. Hey, Cap. Funny guy.
Funny
guy. Yeah. Hey, Cap, how you doing?
Yeah, it's good.
Hey, that sit-down with Coach Q was a lot of fun. We'll get to that in a second.
Thanks, yeah.
NBA last night, Dave was up watching the game. I'm up watching the game. Jacobson and I are texting. LeBron James takes a 27-foot bailout, fall away, reload, two-time three, they end up losing in overtime. Can you tell me that Michael Jordan would have ever taken that shot? No chance.
Are you really seriously going to criticize LeBron James for taking that shot? Because that never goes in, does it, Cap? You've never seen that before, not at the United Center a month ago, did you?
That was a way better shot at the United Center.
A way better shot. It was the same shot except from the wing. He was falling away, out of bounds. It was that shot and the shot that he hit to beat the Bulls in that playoff series, very similar. I figured you would be complaining about, how could the Cavaliers let him get the ball, or how could the Warriors let LeBron get the ball and not double-team him better in that situation?
No, 18 for 38 last night. You don't take that shot. No chance.
If you're 18 for 58 and you're LeBron James, you take that shot.
You attack.
Every single time. No, that was not maybe the shot they wanted, ideally, with when Coach LeBron James drew it up during the timeout. But I don't think that you can criticize a guy that the only reason they're in a position to win the game at that time was because he was dominant.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Any problem with Kyrie Irving playing 43 minutes, given all of the problems he's had with the knee tendonitis and all the injury woes he had during the series with the Bulls?
Well, Dave, where did you put your badge for the minutes police this morning?
I carry it with me all the time.
I don't think so, Dave. I mean, I understand the way it turned out, but this is the NBA Finals, and this is a guy whose guts and determination helped carry you through the playoffs to this point. And yeah, it looks bad now. I mean, it looks bleak, as it did earlier in the playoffs for the Cavs. But I don't know that you can second-guess the amount of time that he played, because if you look at how, against that backcourt, and Irving was playing at a high level. How about that block? Without that block, they don't go into overtime. So
yep.
I don't know that I have a big of an issue with the minutes on Kyrie Irving. I just think that, you know, you have to give the Warriors credit for responding late and at the crucial times in their home environment. And now they have a big edge because of Irving's health issues. But I don't think that the minutes for Irving were something to criticize. And I certainly don't think you can criticize LeBron James for taking that shot.
I think he should have attacked. Let me ask you guys another question. Chad Ford, who's very dialed in from ESPN, NBA writer, says that he is hearing the Lakers want to trade out of the number two pick in the draft. Out of number two. If Karl Anthony Towns went one and you could get Jahlil Okafor, would you put Derrick Rose and Joakim in a package if you could get him?
Come on, Cap. They're not going to do that.
Who's not? The Bulls or the Lakers?
The Bulls aren't going to do that. Or the Lakers. They're not trading Derrick Rose.
No, because I don't think anyone's going to make the deal with him because they don't know his health status.
Don't hire Fred Hoiberg and then trade Derrick Rose. I mean, Joakim Noah, you can convince yourself as much as you want the plausibility and likelihood that he deserves or should be traded. And the contractual realities say, yeah, that's a great idea. But when you get back to Earth and your feet get planted on the ground, nobody's going to trade for him. Why would you want somebody at that stage of his career in that sort of health condition? And certainly not for a chance when you have an opportunity to draft a franchise center like Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah, I completely agree that they wouldn't do it. But if you could move Derek to get Jahlil Okafor, you're telling me you wouldn't do that?
Oh, that's a tremendous hypothetical. It's a great thing for what we do. I think that any fool, I think absolutely if you have an opportunity to get a franchise center who's at his stage of his development, you would take him over a guy in Derrick Rose whose health remains a huge question mark. So if I were backed into a corner and had to say, okay, either or, I would say I would want the future of Jahlil Okafor at this stage more than Derrick Rose. But I don't think that anybody's going to have to answer that question.
Yeah, I don't see that happening at all. But it is an intriguing proposition. I'd love to see Okafor. If there were some way
to get him here,
can we figure out another way to do it?
Whatever it takes.
I don't know. You don't have Tom Thibodeau to trade anymore. I don't think that anybody's going to want Taj Gibson in that deal. You don't have enough draft picks to package. So I do think it sounds great, but I just don't think it's very feasible.
Lakers want Jimmy Butler?
Well, I think they certainly I don't know the ramifications of the rules enough to say that can you trade a restricted free agent you just signed. So that to me might be a moot point, but if they're willing to trade out of that position, it's very curious though because they do have an opportunity, a franchise that has a proud tradition of you know, great centers. Why would you want to trade out of a position to get another one? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm a huge Okafor guy. All right, let's move to why you're down in Tampa. How's vacation going?
Very funny. You know, that's the tendency. And look, like I said yesterday, very lucky to have this opportunity. It's a great atmosphere. You know, it's a great opportunity to just enjoy, you know, a sports town getting excited about its team. The Stanley Cup Finals is always, you know, one of the greatest things that I've covered. You know, luckily now for the third time involving the Blackhawks in the last 5 years. So from that standpoint, you can't complain about anything. This is terrific.
How was Ava's last night, Joe Madden's Italian restaurant? Didn't you go there?
Yes, I did. Yes,
how was
I did.
It?
You know, it was I was pleased to report that there's not an ounce of pretentiousness there. It's a very good vibe, good atmosphere, affordable food, good food, great service, and I think that it was crowded. You know, you had to have a reservation. It had to have a lot of – you could tell that it's a lively place in a good area. And I'm glad I went because it was definitely worth the trip and nothing to complain about. It was terrific.
David, thanks.
Your piece with Q this morning, you called it a Q&Q, which I like, which – he just struck me, and he has struck me this way before, but seeing it in black and white, as a guy who's very comfortable where he is in life, in his career, comfortable in his own skin, has his way of doing things, not changing, and at the same time understands that there's always got to be a certain amount of flexibility. But what did you walk away with after spending some time with him, albeit briefly, given the demands of the schedule around the final and getting a chance to kind of get inside this guy a little bit?
Well, Dave, I think you get a glimpse of it when he talks to Steve Cochran every week, and I think he's lets his guard down a little bit, and I think that's what you come away with yesterday. You know, I was fortunate to get the time with him, and he's just a really relaxed guy. He has a good sense of humor that you don't often see. I got a couple of responses from people via email saying, did he really smile? I mean, are you exaggerating? Because you don't see that side of him very much. I think he's comfortable. And as you point out, you know, there's not – if there's pressure, he certainly channels it well. And during the times of the games and the preparation when you need to kind of, you know, be a coach. But when he's just a regular guy, he's very relatable. And I think that's the one thing that fans in Chicago have embraced, the fact that this is a guy that if you see wherever it is around the city, that he's not standoffish. He's not a guy that tries to, you know, capitalize on all his popularity like he could. You just see a guy that you think that would be a great neighbor, a guy that you would want to have a beer with or a cup of coffee with. And that yesterday he was at ease. And you know, like a lot of us, when he started talking about his kids, he lights up, and I think that you see a side of him sometimes when you're talking hockey or you see behind the mic that you wouldn't imagine. But I was fortunate to see that, and I think that, you know, we see him quoted so often, one sentence at a time, or he talks in, you know, these cue sound bites. And referring to the game, well, should be, he'll be fine. You know, all these things. And that's why I presented it hopefully the way that I did, because let him talk. Let him have the floor. And I think when you do that, you see a guy that certainly is easy to relate to.
Talking to David Haw, David Kaplan, Dave Edit in here in studio. David is down in Tampa.
You have
Tampa.
To be named Dave to be on this show?
You do.
Oh, okay.
Dave times three.
3D.
We're in 3D. Very good. All right, let's talk about tomorrow night being called a must-win game, which was how you started your fine column. Look, I love that mentality because if you win that game, you take a stranglehold on the series coming back home to the Windy City. Do you believe tomorrow's a must-win game?
For who? For the Hawks?
Yes.
No. Certainly not for the Hawks. I don't think – I think they – have done what they came here to do, Cap. I mean, that is almost the hazard in tomorrow night's game from their perspective, is that they probably somewhere realize that, and that subconsciously they know that they stole game one, and they don't have to win game two to make this trip south a success. The Lightning, on the other hand, also realize that if they don't win tomorrow night, this series is probably not going to be a long one. And that is not something that they're going to articulate, certainly not something they're going to acknowledge, but I think it's the reality. If they cannot find a way to win on their home ice, given everything that is poured into making that atmosphere conducive for a home team in its own arena, then I don't know how they would plan to beat the Hawks at the United Center. So tomorrow night, to me, will determine how long of a series this will be, and if the Hawks somehow find a way to win and to go home up 2-0, then the biggest enemy could become, you know, complacency or just finding a way to kind of finish the job, because I can't see under that scenario the Lightning really winning four of the next five games.
You know, the weird thing about Tampa Bay and the thing that the Blackhawks have to be a little bit concerned about is they're 7-3 on the road in the playoffs, and they only got one win, I believe, over the Rangers at home. They beat them three straight times at Madison Square Garden. So they, I'm sure, are confident they can come into the United Center, get a win, and continue to do well on the road. The Blackhawks have been almost unbeatable at home, but they did show against Anaheim that they're capable of losing a game on their home ice. So it would be unbelievable for them to take a 2-0 lead back here.
I think you're right, Dave. I also think that all the statistics that we have been, you know, treated to this week and throughout the course of the playoffs, for that matter, somehow, you know, the Blackhawks seem to make all those moot. And I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And I think that all the numbers and all of the everything was tilted in the favor of the Lightning with 6 minutes and 32 seconds to go in the game on Wednesday night. And then all of a sudden, here goes Tavo. And then all of a sudden, there goes Vermette. And all of a sudden, it's 2-1 Blackhawks, and the team that defies, you know, statistics and logic and everything else just continues to win. So I don't know that any statistics can really describe or adequately project what to expect out of a team that just refuses to lose when the chips are down.
Series.
Our boss just walked in here.
Cap,
David,
stop tweeting, Cap.
No, actually,
talk to your guest.
We actually have
Jimmy. I'm on the phone, and thank you for checking in. But you know, you got a job to do. It's one of your four jobs, but try to do this one and focus on it.
David Haw saying that he's trying to concentrate on the show right now. Anyway, we're going to put you on hold to come back because I've got a couple of more questions I'd like to discuss with you about the Lightning and Joel Quenneville's comments in your column today.
Okay,
very
good.
Interesting stuff.
I hope they're not ridiculous hypotheticals like you just treated me to for the first 10 minutes.
Oh, there were some good hypotheticals in there. Some really good
All
ones.
Right, I'll be here.
All right, hang on. We'll come right back to David Haw right here on CSN and WGN. Plus, say MyPillow. You've heard me talk about MyPillow many, many times. Let me tell you something. I get great night's sleep because of MyPillow. It's the guaranteed most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Try it. Absolutely no risk to you. Sleep on it for 60 nights. And if you don't love it as much as I do, no problem. Return it. They'll refund 100% of your purchase price. Who does that? That's how confident MyPillow is in their product. MyPillow, the official pillow recommended by the National Sleep Foundation. MyPillow even has a cooling effect. Summer heat and humidity is coming. You need a pillow that keeps your head cool and comfortable. Test one out. See what they've sold over 5 million of them. Our listeners are gobbling these things up. They are awesome. MyPillow right now giving you 50% off all their products. Just go to their website, punch in the promo code CAP, log on to MyPillow.com, use promo code KAP. 800-299-5854, 800-299-5854, MyPillow.com, promo code KAP, 50% off. We'll be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Don't poke the bear. Don't poke the bear.
And I go back to two-tone sharp and Welcome Chevy. Back. Cap'n Haw Show continues on CSN and WGN Plus. Dave Ennett is in for David, who's down in Tampa, but he is on the phone line with us now. And we continue here in our studios on the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower. Front page.
By the way,
what's that, buddy?
By the way, Miranda Lambert's in town, too. Speaking of Kenny Chesney in the background, tomorrow night, Soldier Field. Sorry to miss that. But Miranda Lambert was, her band played a concert at Joe's last night. I heard it was tremendous.
Rooney's going to the concert.
Whoa. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Rooney, Mr. Hockey?
Mr.
Is missing
Hockey.
Game two for Kenny Chesney?
Yeah. He got the tickets a while ago, he said.
No chance. I can't believe that.
Yeah, that's so weak.
Wow. I can't wait to get back, give him a hard time.
By the way, I tweeted out the, would you trade Derrick Rose for Jahlil Okafor? And Jason McIntyre, the big lead, Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News are all weighing in. Jason McIntyre's like, who's taking a broken Derrick Rose?
Nobody.
While Mike DeCourcy says he would not make that trade if you did it straight up.
Well, I don't think anybody would, given Derrick's health history and given Jahlil Okafor's immense
potential.
But
it's amazing the number of people responding. Mike DeCourcy, well-known and very smart basketball man, would not make that trade if he was the Bulls.
You know what I call that proposal, Cap? Clickbait.
It might be called Twitter
clickbait.
Twitter clickbait.
Okay.
All right, so I've got your David Haw exclusive, which I find really cool that you were able to get that done. Shows what he thinks of you, because he does not do one-on-one sit-downs very often.
Well, I'll tell you, we did it. It's kind of funny. I've requested this for a little while, and 5 years ago, before they won the first cup,
mm-hmm.
You know, and at a time when I think we still were, there was a lot of curiosity surrounding Joel Quenneville. I had requested, and I sat down with him, and I did a story with him and his wife, Boo, who's tremendous to deal with, and he, you know, was really a good glimpse into. I remember our cover; it was the man behind the mustache. Mm-hmm. And then in 2013, after they won, I sat down with him after the day after, I think it was, and he talked about, you know, his mom and some other personal things, which is what he rarely discusses. So yesterday, you know, we sort of kidded, like, you know, he isn't a guy that likes to do this sort of thing because he doesn't like the attention being focused on himself, and kidded him with, like, hey, you know, it's just once every couple of years. I mean, it's not that bad. And he's like, yeah, I guess not. So he was, I don't want to say reluctant, but he understands that there's a lot of interest in just him beyond what they see behind the glass.
He said in your column here, you asked him, how have you changed since coaching your first Stanley Cup final in 2010? And as you look down at his answer, I'm more excited this time, and not just because it's this time, but just that there's an appreciation to get to where we are this year is greater than it's been. Why?
I was really surprised at that, Cap. It's interesting that was how we sort of started. I think because of he realizes maybe more so than he did before how difficult that road is, and maybe in 2010 and maybe to a lesser degree 2013, you know, there was maybe the newness of it, the novelty of it kind of, you know, carried the day. Whereas this time I think that there's a deeper appreciation because of just how difficult it is to maintain that edge on a regular basis, because this team does have that tendency to get complacent because they know they have such skill and such talent and depth. So I think that when he's sitting here, you know, in the midst of this, and he's not reflecting as much as he is kind of just reacting, that he's like, boy, you know, this was hard, and I appreciate how hard this is just because I've been through it before and everybody's out to get us, because everybody wants to beat the Blackhawks because they're at the top, and it's harder to maintain sometimes than it is to get there.
See, I think that's it. I think this is a team that a lot of people latched onto early, even though they weren't the top seed, even though they had a tough road through the playoffs. A lot of people were picking them right at the outset to win the Cup. Not people in Chicago. I'm talking about national media covering the sport. But if you look back at 2010, guys, remember, they need that Marian Hossa goal in overtime to put them in good position against Nashville. Otherwise, they're in serious jeopardy in that first round. If you go back to 2013, they're down 3-1 to Detroit. So
right. They
had some bigger hurdles to clear, and it may have been of their own doing, in those two playoff runs than they've had to deal with so far to this point. I mean, they're in much better shape comparatively than they were in the 2 years they won the Cup.
And I think also, Dave, that's a great point. This is that answer and his just overall tone was a recognition of just how difficult this has been this season from an emotional standpoint, from a perseverance standpoint. You know, those the deaths hit this team hard, and I know there's been a lot written about it and spoken about it, but, you know, that's not to mean it doesn't still sort of resonate. And I think that's when he talked about that and just how unique of a challenge it was for a group of guys who, you know, hockey players don't show a lot of emotion. They aren't, you know, conditioned to grieve publicly or to share feelings. That was hard for them to get past, Clint Rife and Steve Montador. And I think those sort of unique challenges that they conquered, that represented the reasons why this maybe is something that he appreciates maybe a little bit more than the previous two trips here. But like I said the other day, it's like picking your favorite child. I mean, they're still, it doesn't take anything away from those first two times here that, you know, that this one maybe means a little bit more because he realizes just how hard it is to get here.
David, do you believe that Brian Bickell plays tomorrow night or no?
No, I don't think so. I think that the way this is going, that might buys them an extra day. I think they were very pleased with Chris Versteeg. That came through yesterday, so it wouldn't shock me at all if Versteeg plays, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see a little bit of the line juggling perhaps, and to get Versteeg and Kane and Richards together on the second line and maybe Hossa, Saad and Toews on the top line. I don't know that. Nobody has said that. But if you see Versteeg in the lineup, you could see that sort of combination to try to get the most out of him. And also the number one line with Kane and Toews the other night, you know, they didn't have a great night. They didn't have a point, and the Hawks won despite that. So this might give Q an opportunity to create a little more balance.
We were talking to Eddie Olczyk this morning on the Cochran Show, and I asked him about Trevor Van Riemsdyk maybe playing tomorrow night. He made a great point, as he usually does, which was that Joel does a great job managing minutes for guys who either haven't played or young players. And one of the examples he brought up was Brad Richards early in the year, playing him limited minutes, playing him on the fourth line to try to get him up to speed with the Blackhawks. He was new to the team, new to the way they played, and he gave Richards time to kind of get into a groove, and now obviously we've seen that it paid off.
Yeah, I think that's generous of Eddie. I don't disagree with him necessarily, but I also think that, you know, Brad Richards, based on the people you talked to around the Hawks, helped contribute to that decision. I mean, he wasn't playing at the pace that I think he is now, and he wasn't playing like the guy that they needed him to be. And sometimes, as Q talked about yesterday in our discussion, you know, the best thing he has to motivate players is ice time. And when you stick a veteran, a proud veteran, on the fourth line, it tells him, with no uncertain terms, you got to pick up the pace, or else you're going to be there and you're going to languish on the bench if you don't get better. He's gotten better, and I think you give credit to a guy like Richards, who has come around at the right time, and this team in general, him specifically, but they have all peaked at the right time, and it's fun to watch.
TVR is a guy who, undrafted, correct?
Yes. Yeah, he's had a tough couple years. He, as I said a couple weeks ago, his health history, Derrick Rose looks at it and said, boy, what an unlucky guy. I mean, because this guy has had surgery after surgery, and yet here he is on the verge of playing in game two.
Yeah, it's surprising to me that he's on the verge of playing, because usually Joel doesn't change the lineup after a victory, A. B, this is not like he was your high-priced number one draft pick that you saw. He was a guy that exploded on the scene in training camp, and then got hurt in November, and you've never seen him since, and they're bringing him back in the most high-leverage situation of all. Surprising.
Joel mentioned yesterday how great of a training camp he had, and he used the word shocked. He shocked them last year, last summer, and I think that's that what they're going off of. He hasn't played in an NHL game in November. It is it's a risk. I don't know how high of a risk it is. Whenever you have Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook to carry the load, I don't know how risky it is, really, if you're talking about your sixth defenseman. I think it's actually not a bad move for the future as well. You give this guy a little bit of a taste of what it's like to play in an NHL Cup final, and you're going to be somebody that you're better off as an organization when you have a guy like this that you're going to rely upon in the years to come.
David, one other question about your conversation with Q, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, but just real quick. This is a guy who you look at and you think, big personality, although I don't know that the fans always see it except when he's behind the bench and he's demonstrative, but he's obviously been successful.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a guy who is, you would think, chosen not to cash in on it, not to be the guy like Ditka in the mid-'80s where he was everywhere on every commercial. I think he does a couple commercials, but not...
He still is Ditka.
Yeah, you know, I asked him about restaurants, and I said, you know, he goes, I got enough to worry about. You know, he sort of laughed it off, and I think that's sort of him. And Dave, you've been around him after games and in interview settings. Sometimes he talks so softly that you have to be in the first row to hear exactly what he says. I mean, this is a guy yesterday. We're in the back room of a lounge behind their locker room, and there was people kind of milling around, and we're in the corner. And, you know, he's just very soft-spoken, and you have to definitely, you know, pay attention to what he's saying, because he isn't this guy that wants to be the loudest guy in the room, let everybody know what he thinks or what he's saying, and he doesn't have that persona that you see behind the glass when he's, you know, yelling and constantly going. But he's kind of a dual persona, you know, the coach that you see, and then the guy who is really just pretty grounded and not somebody that is loud or bombastic or boisterous or anything like that. And that's why I think he achieves a balance that a lot of coaches lack. And I think that's what you hear in the way that he talks about not wanting to cash in on that celebrity necessarily. And also, you know, when he talks about his family and his kids at Miami of Ohio and how his daughters have internships and how it's going to be crazy around his house this summer with the kids home. That's just normal stuff that people in Chicago can relate to and why he's a very likable guy off the ice.
Hey, before we let you go, the NHL Competition Committee is recommending a coach's challenge for goals that may have been scored because of goaltender interference or offside plays. Do you guys like it?
I haven't given it a ton of thought, Cap, to be honest with you. I'll have to really, you know what, I promise you that when I'm in the studio on Monday, I will have a full, detailed analysis of the coaches' committee and the competition committee's recommendations on the rules changes in the NHL playoffs.
This is just the only one that I've followed.
I promise you, Cap, that I will have not only a detailed analysis, but reasons for my thoughts on the proposed rule changes. I have given one iota of thought to, but I know I should have prepared better for that.
I
did look into it a little bit. I do like it, but one of the things that's interesting is offsides, they would only review it if, in fact, a goal was scored on the play. And as far as goalie interference, one thing that I don't know, would the goalie interference call on Versteeg the other night have been reviewed when in fact he got shoved into the goaltender? If you remember, there was the other where there should have been goalie interference in the Anaheim series where Crawford's arm got hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jacob Silverberg goal. So they would, that we had Joel on the morning after, and he said at the time, he said, next year that's reviewable and we'll have a coach's challenge.
So, that's a good example, Dave. I don't mean to make light of the way that Cap is taking us deep inside the game behind the glass.
It's important.
Deep in the crease. It's an important rules change, potentially. It is. I would agree with that, definitely.
Yeah, Coach Q has addressed it, so I think you ought to spend a little time this morning, put the donut down, and address this.
There are no donuts going on here. If there were a donut, it's so humid that the glazed donut would melt. I mean, this humidity down here is unreal.
Oh, yeah. Okay, when you walk out and you look at the lake or the ocean or wherever it is you're staying, we'll feel bad for you.
What do you think I am?
I have no idea. No idea.
All right, dude. Well, thanks again, Dave, for filling in. Cap, I look forward to seeing you on Monday morning, getting back there, and I think that we'll have a lot to talk about.
Hey,
we've got Game 3 Monday night.
Did Joel say if American Pharoah seals the deal? You had to have asked that question.
Yeah, he kind of stayed away from picking a race, but you know he's going for, I think that he implied that because Bob Baffert is his guy. He trains Midnight Hawk. He's
right.
Been texting with him, and he sort of just smiled when he said that he was on the brink of history. So he didn't go out on a limb like Eddie O did, picking Frosted. But I think that Joe Quenneville's back in American Pharoah, certainly.
All right, we'll have Doug Nachman later. You have a good time down in Florida. Enjoy another gourmet meal tonight.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
See you.
Thanks.
Buddy. There he is, David Haw. He'll be back in here on Monday. 312-235-2525. I think that's an interesting rule change.
I do, too.
Despite the dismissive tone of David.
No, I think it is. I think it's going to happen. And I think there are other rules that eventually will also fall under this.
No question. Especially if you can review by looking at teeth marks on somebody's back
got
bitten.
That.
You ever bitten anybody on the Cochran show?
Not that I remember.
There you go. 312-235-2525. We'll come right back. The phone lines are open if you want to jump in. 312-235-2525. It's the Cap and Haw Show. Dave Innitt is to my right, the Hall of Famer. Be right back.